We want to continue the markets discussion with Stephen Ricciuto, Mizuho America's chief U.S. economist. And Stephen, I want to start with a startling prediction of yours going through your notes here. You're saying that the Fed could not raise, may not raise interest rates at all next year. And this comes on the heels of some really high inflation numbers, not only for the prior quarter, but we're expecting some PCE inflation numbers tomorrow, expecting 5.7% on the headline number, 4.5% when you strip out food and energy. What's your reasoning here?
Well, the reasoning is we anticipate that the economy is going to start to roll over very, very quickly next year. We believe a lot of activity was pulled forward into 2021. We also believe that the variant issues will be around longer than people anticipate. And we look at the failure of the Build Back Better program to suggest that fiscal policy will be a drag on the economy, as well as the fact that rising interest rate expectations have already weighed on the economy, and that a rising currency will continue to weigh on the economy. So when we look at a lot of the factors that led to the stronger growth environment in 2021 and the rebound in 2020, a lot of those factors are starting to roll over. And we anticipate that the impact on the economy will be quicker than a lot of people anticipate.
And then I want to ask you, sir, about the reads that we got today, third quarter GDP at 2.3%. What are you expecting for fourth quarter results, given that we have this sudden surge of COVID spurred by the Omicron variant?
Well, actually, the fourth quarter is going to be biased upwards by September and October developments. November and December developments are really going to bias down first quarter. So we have a nice rebound taking place in the fourth quarter of the year after the very disappointing third quarter numbers. But then we have every quarter of next year consecutively declining until we get back to around 2.25% in the fourth quarter of next year. So on a quarterly pattern, it's being biased upwards by what happened very early in the quarter, whereas the first quarter of next year will be biased down by what happened at the end of this quarter. And we believe the end of this quarter is going to be a drag.
Stephen, you mentioned the U.S. dollar before, and I think you talked about its strength. And I have on the Wi-Fi Interactive a three-month chart of the U.S. dollar index, albeit that it's weighted kind of archaically. We can see we got this big price rise in November, and then it's just been kind of sideways ever since. But if you take a look at the five-year chart here, you can see we've crossed some pretty big levels, at least on a technical basis. And now that we're consolidating above, some traders are thinking the dollar has room to advance farther. If this is the case, how does this affect the economy next year?
Well, again, I mean, this is our view. The dollar is going to move higher. I mean, on the DXY basis, which you have plotted up there, we expect it to go above 98, and we think there is a possibility, an overshoot to 100. What this does is, in a world of excess supply where global deflation is dominating at the long end of the curve, even though we're worried about inflation here, deflationary pressures are much more evident globally. We're going to import that global deflationary environment, and that's a negative. Again, one of the key reasons why we're looking at 2022, while everyone else is ramping up their expectations on the Fed, we're saying, you know, press the pause button. Let's see how things unfold in the early part of the year to see whether or not the Fed's even going to be forced to do it at all.
And Stephen, I want to get your take on the consumer confidence index read that we got, 115 for December. What do you think will be the health of the consumer going into next year, particularly the first half, as inflation seems to be, you know, like it will continue to rise or be at elevated levels?
Well, let me lay out two things about the number that came out this morning. Number one, the current conditions component was flat. So all of the improvement was in the expectation side, and expectations can dissipate very, very quickly. The other thing is, when we look at the labor market components of that report, they were a net drag, showing that we are starting to see some, you know, downward adjustment in employment that's taking place, or at least in terms of the dynamics of the labor market. We're starting to see some of that turn a little bit less positive. And I will tell you, from talking to a lot of our regional contacts in the banking industry, we're getting a sense that a lot of households have already started pulling down on some of the savings that they accumulated as a result of the CARES Act stimulus and the upward adjustment in unemployment benefits that continued through the American Rescue Act, and that people are starting to, in order to stay home, are starting to draw down on savings. And there's no pent-up demand in the system, so that just suggests to us there's not that much potential for the consumer to really drive the economy appreciably higher in 2022.
So I just want to continue this line of thinking. If, in fact, the economy does roll over in Q1, Q2 next year, and the labor market, which some say is close to full employment right now, but as you're saying, signs a little bit of a sign of weakness there, what happens to the JOLTS picture of people, the great resignation, people who have been leaving their jobs in droves? We have a Monster.com guest on later today. 60% of the respondents from his most recent survey say that people are still looking for new jobs. Based on their dissatisfaction with their work from home or return to office situation?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of dynamics going on in the labor market. And I think when you ask a lot of these survey questions and you get the response, you interpret them, you have to be very, very careful in terms of reading too much into them. We have seen studies as well that show us that people who retired are coming back into the labor force. So there is an adjustment process taking place in here. And I'm afraid a lot of these anecdotal surveys are just going to miss the boat. The important thing to understand is when we look at the monthly inflation numbers, which we have long-term continuous series of, when you look even at the JOLTS number, where we have a good long-term history of it, what I think is going to happen in the JOLTS number is some of those job openings are going to disappear. And I think we're going to see a narrowing of the spread between openings and hirings from both of those components as we go forward in here. And I think the labor market is going to show evidence of beginning to ease up next year as the growth numbers begin to trail off rather quickly.
And then, Stephen, really quickly, I want to know, how does the Fed then take that into account? Because do you think in some respect that it's abandoned its dual mandate of looking at full employment? What is full employment on this side of the pandemic anyway, as it focuses on trying to curtail inflation?
I think if you were to ask them, they'd say they haven't abandoned that. And when you look at their summary of economic projections, which underlies the dot plots that everyone alludes to in terms of what they're going to do in terms of monetary policy, they imply that they believe they are approaching full employment or will be at full employment by the time they get to March. And that's going to be the interesting dynamic, whether that's validated or not. My current assessment of this is they're not going to be validated and they're going to be pushing that off into the future. Keep in mind, the Fed's growth scenario for 2022 is substantially higher than the consensus, and our numbers are even below the consensus. So the Fed has a much more robust economic outlook priced into their analysis than we have.
Well, we have to leave it there. Stephen Ricciuto, always appreciate when you stop by here. And lots of thought-provoking content. Can't wait to get to your thoughts on the new year. But for now, we have to say goodbye.